I'm going to need some volunteers, and we're going to get the students involved today. As you notice, we have a lot of kids in here this morning, and I love that. I think it's a great thing, and I'm going to need some volunteers in a moment, all right? But you need to be able to write, woo, and you have to be able to write in cursive. Just kidding. That was a joke. Just kidding. Just kidding. It's a joke. Sorry. Challenge accepted, she says. Well, those of you, if I've not met you before, real quick, my name is Andy. I get to the honor to be the senior pastor here at New Hope. And pinch me, I'm dreaming. I can't believe I get to be here and do this as a career, a vocation. Such a wonderful church, and God's moving in such good ways here right now. It's a wonderful season. And so I love it. It's so good. And I'm just so grateful they haven't fired me as well. So anyways, not just play, not really, but anyways. All right, so look at this picture. There is this cute little couple in the bottom corner of that screen. Such a confident couple there in high school together. That is me and my wonderful wife, Leslie. I think we were probably seniors. She's here somewhere. Anyway, I think we were seniors probably in that picture one day at school. Yeah, the sweatshirt says number 14's girl. So I was number 14. And I know it's over, it was so fun. What a great time, beaming with confidence. I love that. But let me tell you, that is not how my high school career started at all. Leslie and I didn't meet until I was in high school. But I started my freshman year, first day, not knowing anybody but the liaison officer there at the school, because he was my grandpa. It's a good thing, right? I mean, it's nice to have that in your back pocket. But I did not know anyone. I went to Christ the King School for middle school, and my friends were going to go to Memorial, and it wasn't going to work well for us to do that. So I had the other option, which was to go to Ball State, but I knew I didn't know anybody there, and it was a whole culture thing for me, I'd never experienced before, and I was like, I'm freaking out here, because I don't know, not only do I not know anybody, but I'm going, all my friends are going to be gone, I'm not going to see my friends anymore, who am I going to sit with at lunch? And as adults, we laugh, but as teens and students, that is legit, isn't it? Who do I sit with at lunch? Because I don't want to get at the wrong table and get labeled as somebody, you know, you're going, but that is the truth, right? I was talking with Isabella this morning, and we were just kind of laughing about, you know, it's like, okay, the lunch question, like, how'd it go? She just lights up, right? Because she gets it. Like, it's a real thing. And I didn't know what to expect going into to high school and being around so many other students, and I was afraid I was going to make a mistake, and kids would laugh at me. Oh my goodness, it was a lot of anxieties. I have spent, so much of my life learning how to deal with anxieties. It's been a lot. And it's draining. If you ever have to wrestle with that, it like sucks the life out of you, it feels like, anyways, to go through that. And so we're tackling that a little bit head on today, because we've got students that are going to college and they're going to be living on campus for the first time. And then we've got students who went to high school and are going, whoo, this is big, a lot bigger. And we have kids that went to kindergarten this year. What kids do we have here that went to kindergarten this year? Hands up. Let me see. Couple, da-da-da. Yes, yes, yes. And went to middle school for the first time this year. Any students in here for that? I got a few. Okay, yeah, you're a little young for middle school. Oh, just your hand never went down. Okay, I got it. Anybody went to high school for the first time this year? Oh, all right, all right, all right, all right. How many started teaching for the first time this year? Oh, all right. And the teachers are going, we will put you on our prayer list and pray for you. All right, so have a little fun. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask the students if you'll help me. This doesn't have to be you. Your answer can be what you have noticed around school. My question for you is this. What do students get anxious about at school? All right, what do students get anxious about at school? And this may, you know, if you're a parent, you may have to try to help them. Like, what is he talking about? So what do you worry about? What do you see other students probably worry about at school? They get really super concerned about it. And kind of get super nervous about stuff? What do you students, do you notice other students are that way, gets them that way? It can be college, it could be middle school, high school, elementary, and I need a volunteer. First off, am I going to get some answers? So think about it. Okay, so I need a volunteer to write on the board for me, somebody who can write. I'm just feeling. All right. Come on. We'll have a new teacher to do it so she can practice. Okay, so what do some of the students get, what do you see students get anxious about at school? Start giving me some answers, and then Miss Carrie is going to write them on the board. Come on, talk to me. The bus. There we go. Good one. Okay. Okay, not all at one time, though. I asked for that. Sorry. All right, what do you got? Yeah. Tests. Ooh, good one. What you got, Doug? Homework. You good? That's quick. I know we're... Yes. Friends. Okay. What you got? Was that yours, too? Which? Okay. I'm sorry. Friends. Got my bad, Kai. My bad. Finding classrooms was one. Okay. I'll come back to you, Lucas. Getting bullied. Woo. Let's just go deep this morning. What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Yes, Era? What is it? Oh, drama. Oh, mercy. Drama llama. Let me get in the back. Yes. Getting lost. Can't open the lock on your locker. For real. Oh, what's for lunch? Spoken by one of the college students. All right, how are we doing? What do you got? You got one? Right back. Uh-huh. Reading. Ooh, yes. What do you got? Students laughing at you. Absolutely. Remembering after school activities. Scheduling. Okay, what we got back here? Yes? Recess. Ooh, interesting. Was it? Who to sit with at lunch? All right, give me one more that we don't have on here. Lucas has got everybody over here. Making tuition payments. Woo! Money. All right. Spoken by a college student. Okay. All right. Good deal. Now, give me a line across the bottom. All right. Now, here's the fun part for our teachers. What?
Yeah, right.
Does that say something? Or I don't understand. Okay. So, teachers and parents, can you think of something that... let me do two things. So, first, let me give our teachers... What do you notice teachers get anxious about?
Curriculum.
Oh, wow. So changes, last minute changes in the curriculum after you've already prepped and planned. All right. You got Miss Lori? You said that with hesitation a little bit. All right, so parents, for sure. So another teacher or a student behavior. Ooh, all right. Let me a couple from parents. What maybe do you notice that students or kids get anxious about that maybe if it's not already here on the board? And yes. Hey, morning traffic. All right, so maybe one more? Yeah. Oh, man, yes. Take home homework. The homework that we're going to have to help our kids with at the end of the day. Safety. There we go, safety. Especially in today's kind of cultural environment, that seems to be a growing concern. All right, just one last one. Here we go. Yeah, Scott. And he's married to a teacher. That's what's hilarious. Y'all work that out later. That's all I got. All right. Okay, we're good. Let's roll on because we'll be here all day. And so I need to get going through this. You nailed it. Thank you, girl. Well done. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys, for all of this. I know it's kind of a surprise. You know, we don't always do this. And if that falls, just try to act like it didn't. All right. Thank you. So What you might notice about this list real quick is that if you were to take a moment and kind of just think about these, that some of these come internally, that as students or parents, that it's something within us that we think about that sparks some emotions out of that, right? That we start thinking about that, and that can prompt to some, you know, anxieties start happening. And then some of these are the, I don't have any control. It's external. So it's, you go on the playground, bullying, for example, that's out of your control, right? If you will. And some of those things people are doing or saying to your child or even to you, right? So there, remember that there's both sides of that. So our kids are wrestling with both of that. It's not just, you need to, you know, it's not just them, that they have things that they're dealing with and trying to process through externally as well. And you, as a parent, can't control all those things. You hardly can control any of those things, right? And that's what's so hard sometimes as parents, because you want your kid to not have to wrestle and deal with that and have a good experience. And yet, you know, if you're just honest, that you just can't control all those things for your child. There are certain things you can do. And what we're going to focus on today is helping our kids to think well in order to help set, to manage those anxieties, to prevent some of them, and to set them up to have a good back to school. Because how'd it go this week, right? You guys are back in the thick of it again. Here we go. So that being said, I want to take somebody that probably, if you've been in church for some time, you've heard of, and it's a guy named Moses. So Moses was the gentleman that God chose to lead his covenant people, we call it the nation of Israel, out of Egypt and into the promised land. And if you have your Bible with you and you want to use your Bible, this would be a great time to do that. Or if you got your Bible on your phone, you want to use that, feel free to do so. I want to take you to Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4 this morning. And I want to hit kind of the highlights here of when God, he calls Moses to go about this journey of taking the Israelites, right, out of Egypt and journey them to the promised land, which is the land of Canaan. And they have, right, and they have this journey. Okay, so Moses actually, okay, so chapter 3, verse 11, if you're using a Bible and you want to go there, that'll be the first place I'll send you. And so right there, Moses asked God, when God's already told him, this is what I want you to do, now watch this, Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I that I would have the authority to go into one of the most powerful kingdoms of the entire known world and convince this Pharaoh, who's like the king, to release these slave laborers who are building up his empire because you say that's what needs to happen? Like, are you serious? Who am I, right? Like, I'm not anybody significant and important to be able to do that. All right, go to verse 13, because they just keep coming. Moses asked God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. What name do I give them? In other words, what can I tell them about you in your name that they are going to trust that truly you have called me to come to them and to help them? Because see, here's the thing. In the ancient Near East, the names that they gave to different gods, right, were an identity for that god. So Jehovah Jireh. If you've ever heard of the name Jehovah Jireh. So Jehovah, we won't get into all that, but name of God. And then Jireh is a descriptor of God, of who God is. So they say Jehovah Jireh, provider. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi. All throughout the ancient Near East, that's how they would talk about their gods. And so Moses is going, well, if I go and I say you sent me here, like they need some kind of name to know that this was like legit. Something special that's going to grab them. Go to the third one. Chapter 4, verse 1. He says to them, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and they say, oh man, Lord didn't appear to you? Don't you love the what ifs? How many of these parents ever deal with the what if questions from kids because they're anxious? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if they say, well, what if I can't? What ifs, what ifs? Always wrestling with the unknowns of things often they can't control. But I get it because they're scared and they're nervous. And that's normal. Moses was afraid of being rejected. Imagine putting yourself out there on a line. You step forward to go do something. It's massive. It's huge. You can't even believe it. And it's like, I don't know. This is way beyond me. And you step out there and it's like, I'm afraid they're going to reject me. Ah! Kids put themselves out there. They go to school and it's like, I'm going to try to talk to somebody I haven't met before. But what if they reject me? I would like to be their friend. But what if they reject me? I like to try to answer in class. But what if I'm wrong? Or what if I talk and nobody wants to listen? And see, it's not just Moses, kids and adults, right? What if I introduce myself to this new coworker and they just blow me off? And like I get rejected. I don't want to deal with that emotional nonsense. What if I try to talk to my neighbor, help my neighbor, and they're like, they could care less. Like, I don't want to deal with all that kind of stuff. What if I blow the whistle and I get fired? I get there's a whistleblower, you know, protection, but still. I mean, it's things that you just can't control. Like, how do I deal with that? Moses was being curious. And you'll notice that if you were to go and to read chapters 3 and 4, whenever, in each of those times, I'll say whenever, but each time that Moses says the what if, or he says, you know, what do I say, you notice there's a pattern. God says, I will. And that's important for us to catch. Well, what if God says, I will. Well, how do I do this? God says, I will. He tells him the truth. And he tells him what he'll do or how he's going to make it work. Oh, if we could get God to do that with us all the time, wouldn't that be comforting? How is this going to play out? And God's going, well, here's exactly how it's going to work. Typically, it's like, what if? He's like, I know, I need you to trust me. Yeah, I get it. Moses being curious, and that's a good thing. And it's really not kind of till the end of his dialogue with God that we see that Moses also got an underlying issues at play here as well, which is he's kind of wrestling through his own sense of his inadequacies, that he didn't have the power. He doesn't have the authority. He doesn't really have the influence or the ability to do the things that God's like, I want you to go do this. And he's like, dude, I'm just telling you right now, you picked the wrong person for this job. And so much so that he shuts down. And he, look at chapter 4, verse 13. If you're in your Bible, he says, oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it. And when you look at that story, it's really not until that point in time where God then, look at verse 14. The Lord's anger burned against Moses. It's not till then. Like Moses asks questions and he's wrestling within, but he's also trying to find out information. And it's not till the point in time where he just says, it's too much, I'm done. Peace. And he's like, I'm out. And then the Lord's anger burned against Moses because he refused to be obedient. And I noticed something here for me. I've read this story numerous times, and something unique caught my eye as I read this. And I think there's some, it was intentional by the author when they wrote the book. What was the first question that Moses posed back to God when it was the first one I started with? What did he say? Who am I, right? Exactly. You notice that when God, a little bit later, responds back to Moses, we're talking about the name. He's like, well, what name do I give them? And he says, I am who I am. And that caught my eye, and I just thought for a moment, you know, Moses is like, who am I? And God doesn't get on to him for realizing, I know you're not me. But you got the words in the wrong order. You're thinking about who am I, and I want you to listen to who I am. I'm fine with you being curious, but you need to trust in who I am more than you question, who am I? And I kind of like had to step back for a moment and go, whoo. I look at this story, I was trying to just look over this for a minute, and I thought, you know, the thing that God does is he says, like, Moses, I want you to go, you're responsible for these things. I want you to go do that. Because the things that I'm telling you to go do, that's what you have control over. I'm going to take care of the things that you don't have control over. I'm going to go handle these things that are, like, was we used to, above your pay grade, right? You already use that at work, right? That's above my pay grade. These things are just out of my control. I cannot determine what you do, whether you do your job, whether you say the right thing, whether you handle the conflict. I don't know. I can't control what my teacher says or the homework or how they help study for the exam. I can't control other kids at lunch. I can go to the playground. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I have to put myself out there. Go to freshman year, moving into a new dorm. I can't control the other students in the dorm or around the apartment. Like, I'm just stepping into this, and I don't know, but like, I'll be there, and that just is what it is. People are just people, and you just got to deal with that. I can't control the other staff that I work with. Like, it's just, they're there, and they are who they are. And you may say, well, this is not really helping me, Pastor, this morning. But the point is that there are things, yes, that are out of your control, but there are things that are not out of your control. And we have to always remember which is which and try not to confuse those two. One of the things I would encourage us to teach our kids and helping to learn this too is to be curious. Be curious. Teach kids to, so this is probably more for the parents than the students, but students, if you can track with me, try to track with me on this, okay? Ask good questions that tend to shrink down what is unknown. Why do you ask a question? Because you don't know the answer. And when you don't know the answer to something, that gets a little nervous. You go into your first day at school. How many of you students had some questions? You didn't know everything when you walked in that first day of school, and you're wondering, where am I supposed to sit, or what am I supposed to do? What is expected of me? How am I going to deal with this? Is the food at lunch going to be disgusting? Am I even going to want to be here all, you know, yada, 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 yeah. I was talking with a friend of mine who's a teacher, and she said that one of the things that she does is she teaches her kids that knowledge is power. For those of you who have grown up in the church, this is not leaning towards agnosticism, so don't go there with this. But she says, I teach the kids that knowledge is power, that because when they don't know, they can become overwhelmed. And that's where anxieties can influence how they feel, how they think, the types of choices that they make, their behavior. They may want to shut down emotionally and withdraw. You ever notice kids do that at home sometimes because they just are overwhelmed? So he said, I help them to ask good questions. Not the, well, what if this? No. What can we discover and know is true? And then let that truth be the light in the darkness. Let it be the order to the chaos. What can we know? What, the when, the where, the how, right? So as parents, listen, like even sometimes we want to tell our kids those and like, I don't have time for this. I'm telling you, this is the way it is, right? And sometimes you need to do that. But remember, our job is to disciple our kids. So part of discipling our kids is to help them to learn how to think healthy thoughts, a healthy pattern of thinking. You want to help them learn to uncover what the truth is. Because there's plenty of things they don't know, and they're just not going to know these things. But part of being an adult is learning how to critically think about the things that you don't know, and how do you solve problems? I know this feels like a class. I thought we was in here in a sermon about Jesus, right? But remember, Jesus is the one that's told we're supposed to train our kids in the way that they should go. And part of that is helping them learn how to think in healthy ways to manage themselves, because who they are matters. They're important. and their mental health and their emotional health, they matter to God. And our job as teachers at home is to help them learn how to manage that. So I'm teaching kids, and we're teaching with parents and grandparents as well this morning. All right. Teach them how to ask questions that get to the heart of the matter. I could talk for a week probably on that one topic, and I just want to present the seed for us today to think about as a parent, as students even. Listen, you want to learn to ask questions that help to get information, because you can use that to then make decisions and guide your steps. Parents, does that make sense? Grandparents, make sense? This we can help our kids learn how to do. That is a learned behavior. You have to learn how to critically think. Our kids today are not learning how to think critical like we learned and our parents and grandparents learned in the day. There needs to be an emphasis on that. Learn how to think and solve problems, okay? And our teachers that I'm watching are going, exactly, right? But we can do that at home first. That's your job. That's not your teacher's job. You're the parent. Teach your kids how to think in healthy ways. All right. Don't shoot the messenger. All right. I love you guys. Okay. Now, good questions are powerful. And here's the second part of this I want to give you. It's just two-part deal here this morning. Teach them how to be curious. But I also want to encourage us to remember that faith demands a response. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life, right? So we never have all the questions answered, but we still have to step forward in faith, and we have to make some decisions, and we have to choose how to act. So students, look at me for a second. If you're a student in school, look at me, please. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me, right, kind of thing? All right, listen up. You're going to go to school Monday. There are going to be things that happen to you at school that are out of your control. People are going to say things that you can't control. Other kids are going to treat you and talk to you in ways that you can't control. You didn't ask for it. You didn't invite it. It just happens. Okay? It's part of the journey of being in school. Even when that happens, you still have a choice. Listen carefully. You have a choice on how you will respond. That is something you can control. And you are responsible for how you handle what happens to you. Adults, spouses, sometimes your spouse doesn't always say or do the thing that makes you happy, but you have a choice in how you will respond to your spouse, right? Same thing with our kids. Let's teach our kids this as well. We do have a choice. Moses had questions, things he couldn't answer, but what you notice is that from the very beginning, when God called Moses, God already knew what his response needed to be. Yes, Lord, here I am, send me. I will go. It wasn't until Moses, like, I'm toast, no. That's when the Lord, right? And that's where we see, like, how serious it was that faith demanded a response. If we say we love Jesus, students, listen, eyes on me. If we say we love Jesus, and we believe in Jesus, that faith demands a response, that we would treat people with love like Jesus treats us. And I know that's hard, and that sometimes causes anxieties, because it's not what you want to do. But faith demands a response of love and justice. So you're going to teach them to be curious, but you're going to also teach them to be certain that God will oversee. I can choose to love, even though it's hard, and I'm like, I don't know, because I trust that God will oversee this. God will help me. God will be with me. Teach our kids to be certain that God will help them because, one, the Father loves them. Jesus promised to be with us to the end of time. And the Holy Spirit is working for their good. God has goodness in store for them over the long plan, despite their circumstances. Do you know that each of those statements I just gave you are grounded in Scripture? It's important that we teach our children how to manage their anxieties using the Word of God. Jeremiah 31:3. God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Does God like me? I did made the wrong choice. God never stopped loving you for a moment. Yeah, but I said, and I, but God never stopped loving you for a moment. Matthew 28:20, I'll be with you always to the end of the age, Jesus said. Well, I feel like I was all alone and nobody cared. You see, but Jesus was with you through every bit of that because he's with you to the end of the age. Romans 8:28, God's working for the good of those who love him. Ain't nobody helping me and I was all alone. I just felt like I was failing. You see, but remember, God has never stopped working for your good even when you felt like you were failing. Why? Because he loves you and he's with you. Jeremiah 29:11. How many of you know that one, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Remember, that verse came out of a time of conflict in the life of the nation of Israel. An uncertainty about what their future would hold. They had been in exile and it's like, oh my word, like, I don't even know. Like, I can't. There's so much unknown. And God says, I know you see what you don't understand, but I'm telling you what I see is over all of that. I know the plans I have for you. It's so I know. I will. All of your heart. Trust me. Follow me. Seek me. Lean into me. Listen to me. Sit with me. Just breathe for a moment. I got you. I can help. Perhaps you may consider including these promises as you pray with your children. And if you're not praying with your children, can I encourage you to pray with your children? I pray for them. Pray with your children. Pray with them in your presence, right? Pray with them. Include his promises from Scripture. Teach them that it's good to use the Word of God when we pray. Give God thanks for his faithfulness to your family. Well, I don't feel like we have a whole lot to be thankful for, although probably many of us say, I do have a lot to be thankful for, really. The older I get, the more I realize that. I know I don't look that old, but it just, anyways. Help them look back over time and to be able to identify and point out how God was faithful. Our kids need markers that they can look to and say, here's what God did here. Here's what God said over here, and he did. Here's, you know, just pointing to those. They need those. And sometimes, mom and dad, you've got to be the one that points that out to help them to identify that and learn what it looks like when God says he's faithful. That's what faithfulness looks like. They got to learn who this God is that we worship and trust in. You can paint the picture for them. You could just say, trust God and go to school. Tired. I didn't get enough sleep. I haven't had a cup of coffee this morning. I can't deal with this. Just trust God and go to school. I can't look at you another moment. That may be some days. Not saying it's not. But remember, our first goal is to disciple our children. So we want to talk with them, read with them, pray with them, sing with them. Tell stories about God's goodness and his faithfulness to your family. Talk about the hard stuff that God's gotten you through. You say, well, they can't handle that. You'd be surprised what your kids can soak up and handle that's even that you would think they couldn't. Use some discretion, okay, of the what and the when. But don't be afraid to talk about the hard things in life that God's seen you through. They need to learn that when it's rock bottom for them, God really does show up. And you got to teach them this. That's your job. That's my job. It's our job. All right. Do you have it decided in your home and in your heart and in your mind that faith is a weapon against anxieties? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. Be sure. Be certain. Faith is your weapon against the unknown. No one can have faith for you. You must have your own faith. No one else's faith will save you. No one else's faith will carry you through it. Your own faith. Will you use your faith as a weapon against anxieties? question I ask us today, let it help you manage those anxieties from the unknown. I have given you a lot of hardcore, hard-hitting questions today, and the last thing I'm giving you is this right here. Would you put this verse on the screen, our last one? I say all of this because I believe that God's word is true, and we just need to face life head on and remember this is what God promises. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. You will keep in perfect peace. Didn't say he will solve all your problems if you trust in me. He didn't say he will make your kids do all the right decisions if you trust in me. He doesn't say he will make sure you don't ever lose your job or have any health concerns or get cancer. He's not saying that. He's just saying you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Where have you placed your faith? I want to encourage you, place it in Jesus Christ, in his promises, his word, and hold on to it. Be curious for the truth and be certain of his faithfulness and goodness, that he loves you and that he will never stop being your biggest cheerleader. He's in your corner. He's got you. And I tell you this, what he said to Moses, I will. I will. I have, and I will continue, because I love you. Amen.